This English version of the podcast was created using AI-based voice synthesis from the original German recording.
Business Shift.
Business Shift.
The podcast for decision makers and executives who want to deal with the topic of sustainability in a sustainable way. Welcome to Business Shift, the podcast that changes perspectives and explores the question of how to make more out of business, namely sustainable and future-proof. My name is Tobias Kirchhoff. Today we're talking about something we all deal with every day, the climate. For a long time, the topic of climate change was rather something that was threatening. But now, it is clear to everyone that we are already in the middle of it. What can companies do to ensure that we do not reach the critical tipping points that lead to irreversible changes in the first place? And with such measures that these companies do not break down? I am talking about this today with our sustainability expert from TÜV Rheinland, Dr. Bahar Schadkrauser. Welcome, dear Bahar.
Hello, dear Tobias.
Dear Bahar, what exactly is climate protection?
Climate protection means knowing how much I emit and doing everything I can to make my processes more efficient, to design production processes and business processes in such a way that they cause fewer greenhouse gas emissions and to establish measures that reduce emissions in net terms.
Concrete. What do you think is part of the topic of climate protection, avoidance of climate change, meeting climate change? What topics do you think are included?
So when you talk about climate protection in the company, we always get to the costs relatively quickly. But as a company, I also have a certain responsibility, and this responsibility not only applies to my company, but also to society, which is also increasingly taking on the topic of climate protection, so that I can not only improve myself in the company with the topic of climate protection, but also my own reputation, for example, or even the sales of my products, to put it bluntly. If, for example, I can show that my product is more sustainable than that of the competitor, then I also have a direct contribution to profitability. For companies, climate protection means positioning themselves for the future, to really establish ourselves in this way, to define goals, to develop measures to remain on the market in 10 years' time.
Well, I can do that financially by simply trying to cushion financial imponderables. But what does that mean in concrete terms? More and more companies understand that they have to do something for the climate. But the whole thing must also be affordable. What does climate protection cost, and what amortization periods can I expect as a company?
So, of course, the costs always depend on the measures that I define for myself. These can be very short-term measures, such as energy efficiency measures. For example, if I have large layers in the logistics sector or something like that, and my lighting is switching to LEDs, then I can save costs directly. Then, of course, I have a certain amount of investment that I make, but it pays for itself relatively quickly. Or if I turn the cooling a little warmer, by 1 or 2 degrees, which also brings a lot of energy efficiency and is also directly noticeable in the wallet. But then, of course, there are also long-term measures that may also require larger investments. For example, the investment in renewable energies. If you buy PV systems, put them on the roof, then, of course, you have a larger investment, but it will only pay for itself over several years. And then also repairs, building renovation measures, for example, to improve thermal insulation. These are all investments that are more likely to pay off in the long term.
As an entrepreneur, I'm not a nonprofit organization, but I have to know what to expect in order to be able to plan so that I don't overdo myself financially, for example. How can I calculate the costs of investing in climate protection measures in a sustainable way?
So it's always important to know where I stand first. So I can define measures, and in the end, they may have no effect at all, but simply costs. So the most important thing is really to analyze the initial situation. And if it is really about climate protection measures and the reduction of greenhouse gases, then such an investment plan would always be preceded by a calculation of the greenhouse gas emissions that I cause myself. In other words, I would create a carbon footprint, for example, or a balance sheet where I can see exactly where the real levers are in my processes or in the company. And if that is, for example, the purchase of energy, then I could reduce my greenhouse gas emissions by investing in renewable energies on the one hand. And on the other hand, of course, also position myself somewhat self-sufficiently in terms of energy prices, which are on the rise, and make investments that will also pay off financially at some point.
Noticeable.
So kill two birds with one stone. Of course, it is also extremely important to record direct and indirect costs. Well, and you also have to keep in mind, and this is something you might always forget, that sustainable investments also have tax advantages. So that means depreciation, tax incentives through sustainable investments. The banks actually look at it, especially when it comes to loans, creditworthiness. This is always an issue. And then, of course, it is also important to check and evaluate the profitability of the measures. That's why I said at the beginning that it's always good to see where my adjusting screws actually are so that I really take with me when developing measures what really brings something in order to avoid costs. And it's also important to look, okay, how much do I have to invest? How long is my payback period? And of course, you also have to look at the cost-benefit ratio, i.e. putting the life cycle costs of the measures in relation to the expected savings. And of course, it is always important to track the measures. So I always say monitor annually or maybe in shorter cycles to simply show the development. It can go in any direction. It can be positive, but we also often find in companies that measures may not be as effective as expected. Then you have to readjust them. There is no right or wrong, but there is always the possibility of saying, maybe I have to optimize one or two more sub-measures in order to then go in the right direction again. And there is always potential for cost savings there too. That means always looking at the end of the day, what is the target actual comparison? Will the measures bring the successes that I planned at the beginning? And of course, I can do that best at the KPI level. So everything that is quantifiable is always super helpful in principle.
That sounds very complex now. So many variables or many theme games seem to be included in the financing and in the calculation. Could you perhaps give us a benchmark to simplify this further and also make it practical? After all, what should a company invest in climate protection every year?
That actually depends very much on the industry, on the size of the company, and of course also on the initial situation and the goals I set for myself. Basically, you can then say that companies should really prioritize measures that pay for themselves within 5 to 10 years. So as a benchmark, the annual investments could ideally amount to 50 to 100% of the expected annual savings in order to then create a balance between the effort and the benefits. And it is important that investments in climate protection are really strategically planned and aligned with the individual goals and possibilities of the company. And subsidies and external advice can also help to control the financial burdens in a targeted manner.
Investment is now clear to me. What do I just have to put in? Also, how can I calculate it? How does it pay for itself over the years? For me, however, the question arises again. How does climate protection affect the profitability of my company in concrete terms?
So perhaps to summarize again what the positive effects are, cost reduction through increased efficiency and protection against rising energy and CO2 costs, among others. That gives the company a certain planning security. And of course, you also have market advantages and predictable sales growth ahead of you. If I position myself for the future, then I can plan not just for the short term, but for the long term, because sustainability is simply there to stay. And then, of course, there are subsidies. There are various regional and national programs in Germany, such as KfW loans, BAFA grants, or climate protection funds. And on the other hand, of course, you also have to see that a sustainable company is all in all much more attractive for investors, which of course also enables me to achieve a better market positioning at the same time. And that from different perspectives, on the one hand, there is of course the long-term nature, perhaps also the longevity of my products, which I design more sustainably, but also the attractiveness for employees, which also gives me, I'll say, a certain market positioning.
Where or how can I find out which of the funding programs is suitable for me?
So there are usually online portals of the institutions mentioned where you can search for keywords by federal states, by company size, and you actually get a very good overview relatively quickly of which subsidies are currently available, which ones are available by when I have to apply with which documents. They exist at the national level, but they also exist at the EU level, at the municipal level. So it's worth taking a look.
And to what extent can the sustainability consultant help me?
Yes, the sustainability consultant can, of course, help if he or she has expertise in applying for funding. There are many things you can do right, but also many things you can do wrong. And it's always good to take a helping hand and knowledge with you to avoid exactly these mistakes.
We have now talked about the money, and let's assume that we have raised the money or we want to raise it. Which climate issues do I address now, and how can I set up a climate protection strategy and then implement it?
So I always set up a strategy when I know where I am, where I stand, and have done an analysis of the current situation. So especially on the subject of climate, I would hardly calculate a footprint as a first step. I can do it at the company level, but I can do it at the product level. This means that with this tool, I have a very good overview of where I actually have to intervene at all. When it comes to strategy, we always talk about goals. In this case, these would be the climate targets. This means that I can actually determine relatively well from this analysis what percentage of my greenhouse gas emissions I want to reduce in how many years. That would be a goal. And if I now say, for example, that I want to save 20% in 5 years, then I would work towards this 20% and see what measures I can take to achieve this goal. That means that if I have now calculated a carbon footprint, for example, for my company, and it turns out that the topic of energy is a great lever, then one measure would be to say I am switching to renewable energies. so that I would then actually define a measure here to look, I do my own PV systems as a thing. Is perhaps the heat pump the right thing, or what is actually the right remedy for me? And then it's a matter of prioritizing these measures and also involving the responsible people in the company, because they were usually not involved in the strategy or in this strategy development. So to involve them, to build up the knowledge here and to say, here, colleague Tobias, you are now responsible for making us a little more energy efficient. And then the next step would be to see, is there actually funding in this area? It is always, always worth actually checking this and then actually introducing cycles that then also make it possible to monitor the effectiveness of the measure. That means saying, okay, the employees who are now involved in this measure have to calculate the carbon footprint again every 6 months or every 12 months and see whether the measure is working.
That sounds pretty time consuming. I can imagine that as an entrepreneur, I wouldn't be able to manage that at all alongside my day-to-day business because I'm normally 100% booked up. What alternatives do I have that I can still set it up alongside my day-to-day business?
Yes, not just anyone can calculate a carbon footprint. That's true. So, of course, we as the external consultants are already called upon to provide support here. There are also agencies for climate protection management that can be commissioned. But the long-term goal should actually be to install a climate protection officer or a sustainability manager somewhere in the company who does exactly what I mean by monitoring, to look again and again. The measure also takes effect to strengthen communication in the company. So that should actually be the highest goal, but until then, I would always bring the expertise in-house.
We have just talked about where I can get funding from. That is, where do I get money from? How much do I have to invest? It's also exciting to know again, where can I save money? So that is, where do I perhaps also have tax incentives, which the state then also gives me so that I can bring the topic of climate protection forward in my company?
So the German state uses various tax incentives to encourage investment in sustainable technologies and processes. The Growth Opportunities Act introduced the Climate Protection Investment Premium Act, where companies can receive a premium of 15% of the investment costs for climate-friendly technologies. Then there are special depreciation, for example, for certain energy-efficient renovation measures on buildings. Then there are tax incentives for electromobility, for example, or the promotion of research and development, investments in innovative climate-friendly technologies. This means that it is definitely advisable to check the tax advantages together with the tax advisors to develop the optimal strategy for the company, which can vary.
And what do I have to pay attention to so that I can really benefit from the tax advantages?
So documentation is the be-all and end-all here. So it really has to be complete, especially when it comes to investments. This means that all investments and expenditures for climate protection measures must be documented, complete, and also tax verifiable. Then, of course, you should also keep an eye on checking the eligibility of the measures, i.e., really make sure that the investments meet the requirements of the respective funding programs or tax incentives. In this context, it is also important to say that the correct allocation of the cost for climate protection measures is, of course, also important. And then, of course, the use of tax-free grants and subsidies that do not cause any additional levies or tax burdens.
Dear Baha, I take away that companies can make their contribution to climate protection and that the state and the EU also support this commitment. Of course, companies must have prudence and planning diligence extended when it comes to climate protection investments. But anyone who deals with it will find that the journey to climate protection begins with a first small step, and the second and third follow very easily and automatically. Once again, a very big thank you to our esteemed listeners for being there. I hope you can take something with you into your everyday business. My name is Tobias Kirchhoff, and if you want to learn more about sustainability in business, just stay tuned. Subscribe to our podcast, and we will bring you the most interesting tips and stories about sustainability in business, innovation and transformation, resource efficient in the ear canal. You can receive us wherever podcasts are available or wherever you are. In the home office, in the car, in the bathroom, ironing, walking the dog, in nature with children or dogs. And as always, you can find all the information under our show notes. And don't forget, change, even in business, starts with all of us. So until next time, your
business shift.
Business shift.
The podcast for decision makers and executives who want to deal with the topic of sustainability in a sustainable way. Stay curious.
Bye-bye.